Good afternoon. I'm Alicia Curtin. I'm actually an associate professor from the University of Rhode Island, and I'm going to be talking about our development of a community academic partnership on patient-centered outcomes research. The other practitioners faculty with us is Diane Marnes, who's also a community health nursing faculty member, Donna Schwartz-Barcott in public health nursing, Shali Yetka, Masters of Public Health, Allison Tovar, who's a faculty in nutrition at the University of Rhode Island. Lisa DiMaria is a doctoral student at the University of Rhode Island. Valerie Joseph is the clinical operation manager and nursing manager at the Clinica Esperanza. And Annie DeGroote is the medical director and professor at the University of Rhode Island. And we have no disclosures to talk about. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the development of the community academic partnership in servicing a health disparities population, and also talk a little bit about some of the research projects, pilot projects that we have conducted at the Clinic Esperanza, a Hope Clinic, and also talk a little bit about the strengths and challenges that we have encountered in our partnership, in developing our partnership. Nationally and in Rhode Island, not only are there a number of disparities, and the disparities are growing, but so too are the number of people who lack access to health care. And then that exposes them to early morbidity and mortality for this population. So we're really focusing on a health disparities population, and other factors kind of impede their ability for access to care and adequate care are language barriers, cultural barriers, and limited health literacy. So a lot of our interventions and strategies have really been focused on those areas to improve that. When you look at specifically chronic illness in our population, what you're finding here in the graph is that right here the race and ethnicity is the black non-Hispanic have a higher percentage as well as Hispanic in our practice. Let me move back here. And also the language barriers really impact their access to health care. In our community in Providence, within the Providence County, Oneyville is the community, what you see, there's a large percentage of people who have no health insurance, have chronic illness, and usually use the emergency room for most of their primary care needs. So the clinic is really set up to really look at this population. The Clinic Esperanza was actually set up in 2008, and it started with a small group of volunteers who really looked at accessing this population and providing health care to this population. Over the years, you can see the growth in the volunteer base, which are healthcare professionals at Brown Medical School, at the University of Rhode Island, at Rhode Island College, and volunteers in the community that came together. And now, in 2012, 2013, we have over 175 volunteers. A lot of the equipment and labs X-rays, supplies have been donated through a lot of the public hospitals, the private hospitals, and private vendors in the community to help have this population have access to care. Clinica Esperanza actually offers primary medical care to Rhode Island residents who have no insurance. And in this area, it's primarily a Hispanic Latino population. The clinic really focuses on looking at linguistically competent care and strategies to really look at this population with bilingual and bicultural volunteers and staff. Really, the focus is on prevention and health maintenance for this population. It's run by qualified health providers from the community, from the local universities, and some private practitioners that are working in the community. And it is supported by a volunteer staff and paid staff also. The University of Rhode Island College of Nursing also's mission is to provide excellent nursing education, clinical practice, nursing research, and community service. Many of the faculty really work with a lot of the vulnerable population, so it was actually a really nice kind of partnership between the clinic and the College of Nursing faculty. The College of Nursing also often offers undergraduate and graduate education, including DNP and PhD, for students to really assume leadership roles in the community. Also at the university, there is a really big, strong emphasis on interdisciplinary partnerships within the university and actually without outside the university. So these are really strongly encouraged. The nursing faculty really are committed to looking at vulnerable population and improving the health and wellness of this population. So we have several faculty that are really involved with public health nursing, international and global health, and looking at chronic illnesses. To bring us together, the medical director of the Clinica Esperanza, and who's also a professor at the university, brought us together to look at developing a research proposal, looking at developing our infrastructure within the College of Nursing to do patient-centered outcomes research, looking specifically at health disparities, looking at developing innovative strategies for people who have low English proficiency. We came together, some of the nursing faculty, also faculty from nutrition, along with the staff and volunteers at the clinic, came together to form this partnership. And we started by actually having weekly meetings for about 6 months to develop the research strategies and looking actually and learning about each other's strengths and weaknesses and developing kind of what each other's interests are and fostering that. So out of that came four research projects and also a focus on education and service within the clinic setting. So some of the key factors in developing the community academic partnerships is really building the strengths and resources within the community. So part of that partnership, as we began coming together, was bringing the community members together also and developing a community advisory board, but also with the patients included in as part of that development. So we also had the community involved in all phases of the development of the research plan and the structure of each of the pilot projects. And also, as part of that, is the faculty, as well as the staff, as well as the community, kind of co-learning about health disparities and the needs of the community. Through this, four areas of needs were addressed in the community, and it was actually from the community participation that these came out of. And one of them was mental health needs, nutrition, focusing on obesity, physical activity, and looking at prediabetes, diabetes, and metabolic syndrome. The other part of the focus on the community academic partnership involved education. So what we started to do is a lot of the community nursing students would start doing some of their community rotations at the clinic, as well as pharmacy and medical students. In addition to this, nurse practitioner students and also faculty have provided volunteer service at the clinic to really kind of continue to build that partnership, not only in the research piece, but the education and service. And then we did not, the other area that we looked at is looking at these pilot projects as we went along. So one of the major areas that, or a project that has been started at the clinic is Vita Sana, which is really looking at, we designed a place-based health intervention that addresses community needs. So there's a lot of community involvement in this project. So Vita Sana is actually understanding the barriers and facilitators of lifestyle intervention programs for preventing metabolic syndrome. During the project, they would describe factors that lead to behavioral change in lifestyle, some of the barriers to obtaining care and making those changes, identifying some of the facilitators actually too in making changes, lifestyle changes, and really kind of focusing on pre-diabetes, diabetes, and metabolic syndrome. Some of what the student has been doing is conducting focus groups after the program has already gone through. So we have several, over 200 clients that are come to the clinic have been involved in the Vita Sauna program. So some of the outcomes of this, the Vita Sauna program, is that a lot of the clients have completed surveys and interviews on the electronic medical record. They participated in Zumba program, so increasing their activity level, which was very popular among the participants. And actually, they've had lots of improvements in their weight, their BMI, their glucose control, cholesterol, and waist circumference. So, and the Vita Sauna program is really focused on, they had English speaking groups and Spanish speaking groups, and really focusing on low literacy in trying to get people to understand education and actually change their behavior. So what you see here is a lot of the majority of clients that had participated in the program had increased improvement. So you can see in weight, 82%, 79% in waist circumference, glucose, cholesterol. You can see in blood pressure how successful the Vita Sauna program was. Lots of involvement of community health workers in making sure that the program was followed through. So we really want to thank a lot of the Navigantes that have really worked on the focus groups and implementing the strategies for the community participants in the Vita Sauna program. So one of our doctoral students now, as part of her dissertation, is now looking at the Vita Sauna participants after they've completed the program and doing focus groups to see how that, how those improvements in their behavioral changes, their blood pressure, how is that going to be maintained over time, and how are they doing that? And what kind of factors facilitated those changes? Another pilot project, it was Hijo Saludables. And this is actually engaging parents in teaching around obesity. And right now, the Allison Tovar is actually looking at focus groups with parents, trying to understand a little bit about what interventions might work, what are the children eating at daycares, and does that kind of transfer in the environment, that the home environment that the children are living in. Another project is El Cuidado Nuestro, which is really looking at mental health, stress, depression among older adults and the old adult population, to kind of get more of an understanding what stress and depression means to them, their perspective, and actually looking at a particular ethnic group. So looking at Guatemalan, Colombian, and also some of the Mexican American population, and then how do they describe their symptoms, and how do they manage and treat the symptoms? Some of the strengths that we've seen in the partnership, really had a great opportunity to do innovation and research, looking at our education and service. So really have brought the College of Nursing faculty in the clinic and the community together to support around some of the healthcare needs of the community. The other strength of the of this project is also bringing the community in and finding out what their healthcare needs are, and kind of helping us redefine or refine our research strategies or innovations in the care, and evaluating that with us to kind of see what's working and what's not working. And the other strength is really looking at interprofessional clinical practice research in among nursing students, the medical students, and also faculty from the university across disciplines. Some of the challenges that we've had is some of the coordination of the projects, trying to recruit participants to participate in some of the projects. Sometimes it's been very difficult to meet regularly just because of people's schedules. what we see, the academic demands, and then also getting together with some of the community advisory boards. That's often difficult, but we pull it together. And then often finding kind of the representative population from the community, the staff and faculty coming together to kind of participate in all that, all the phases of the research and education. So these are some of the publications, actually, that have come out of the Clinica Esperanza that we've been looking at some of the work that they've been doing, really looking at healthy lifestyles and changing behaviors. And we'll wait till the end for any questions. And I do want to introduce the medical director and professor. You are Annie DeGrout, who has been instrumental in actually the functioning of the clinic and bringing our partnership together. So I just want to thank you.